Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from The Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 180, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
That was probably a little more echoey than usual. I've got all the doors closed. I forgot to open my closet doors. Anyways, did you know that this is a production of iHeartRadio, mm-hmm. Miles? And mm-hmm. a podcast where we take mm-hmm. a deep dive into America's shared mm-hmm. consciousness? You probably knew that, but I'll tell you something you didn't know. It's what? Tuesday, April 13th, 2021. And did you know my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Baja Blast Mountain Dew. Baja Blast, Baja Mountain Dew. Baja Blast, Baja Mountain Dew. That is courtesy of J Music Chicago. It is, of course, the Circle of Zeit from the O'Brien King. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Moderna or Pfizer, maybe even, you know, get that Johnson & Johnson vaccine in your blood flow. Key Largo, Montego, finally we can go. Oh, I'm vaccinated in Kokomo. We're there at last with stimmy checks from Joe. That's what we want so bad, bro. Vaccines in Kokomo. And, hey, you know, it could only be Christy Yamaguchi, man, with that wonderful Beach Boys-inspired vaccine anthem, the Vanthem.
I got my appointment, and as I was making my appointment for this Thursday, I had visions of John Stamos dancing in my head. John Stamos on the bongos.
Yep.
What a dreamboat.
And that's been actually powering you to be safe this entire lockdown.
One day.
The pandemic is not. That's the weird thing, because I just got my first shot last week. It's surreal to be like, okay, yeah, but it's not over.
So, yeah.
It's like in a way,
I'm going to Kokomo and I'm not packing a mask, bro.
Within seconds. Got the shot. I'm on my way.
Peace. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant, the talented, the hilarious Chelsea Weber Smith.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know,
there
I always love being here with you guys.
Look at you.
So thank you for having me back.
Always such a great conversation to be had.
Yeah.
I agree. I love talking to you guys.
Oh, it's so good talking to you. As we've talked about before, your work on, social moral panics and just your kind of pop cultural history, mind for pop culture history is just inject it right into my fucking veins. I love it.
Yeah. I will.
Yes, please.
Great. Yeah. What are you trying to get? A jumbo? A red top? How are you packing it up, Chelsea?
You want two?
Two for five? What's the deal? The other thing I was going to see, what I was thinking of you when Lil Nas X twerked his way to hell.
Oh, yeah. Baby. I know. That was full blown. It was a... I will say it hasn't been great PR for Satanists the last little while here,
sure.
Yeah. But I think he has a brilliant PR team, which I'm sure he's a huge part of, because I think they knew what they were doing with what was going to happen. And I appreciate a good PR stunt as much as I hate capitalism, I have to say. And that was a beautiful, beautiful rollout from start to finish there. And it was a satanic panic, but man, the last satanic panic lasted like 15 years.
We're turning them over quick these days, aren't we?
We turn them over fast. But
yeah,
thank you for thinking of me.
Yeah.
I when Charles Manson died, a bunch of people called me. I was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I don't like serial killers. I just know a lot of.
How does that feel for you? What? What did you think I was into Manson?
I was like,
for?
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's the same thing people think of me. Died,
oh, his wisdom was so beyond.
Yeah. And his music. Let's not forget, pour one out for another musical king.
That's pretty ridiculous. Yeah.
Did you ever hear those weird tapes? Those Manson family?
Oh, yeah.
I remember dating somebody who put me on, not put me on, but like played them for me for the first time. And I immediately was like, oh no, like, why do you have all these MP3s? These are not good songs at all. And I was
like, come on out to this ranch where me and my friends hang out and we can just, kick
He's
it.
He's got a
just
song
you.
About dumpster diving. It's like, we love, I can't remember it, but it's a real happy, like, let's go dumpster diving, you guys. And it's
he was heavily influenced by and even friends with the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Sure was.
And they both branched off in their opposite directions and took things. I think Kokomo is the most authentically and deeply satanic song in American culture, because it's just like at that point where the hippies and like the 60s culture has completely sold its soul to capitalism and just like visions of steel drums dancing in our head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's so interesting because Charles Manson and the Manson family were like a huge kickoff for the satanic panic, because originally they were like, this is a satanic ritual. And so it's just like, and then it was like Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist and all of these like satanic movies with all this like happenings around them that were supposed to be like a cross was struck by lightning the night of the premiere and fell, so it's just like the beginning of this satanic panic that we're still, we've always had a satanic panic. So it just gets big sometimes and puffs up.
And I should say satanic in the more evil than anything.
Yeah, yeah. Not nice Satanists who are just like challenging.
Yeah, not fun Satanists
challenging
who are just like,
Christianity.
Do as thou wilt.
Yeah, shall be the whole of the law.
Yeah. Is Satanism, I feel like Lil Nas X is making Satan cool again. Like,
I'd say.
I guess the real, since the satanic panic only lasted all but 15 seconds, has Satan lost its appeal? In terms of being a lightning rod for outrage for conservative people? Like, are we in a post-Satan world now? Like, Satan is no longer the worst thing?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on which Christians we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, the evangelical, because there's been such an evangelical resurgence, right? So it's like, those folks are definitely on board with, like, satanic forces, controlling liberalism.
Right.
Like, all that stuff is still around. But I think it's lost its power probably a little bit, But it's just like the metalheads, right? It's like the metalheads of the 80s. It's in the backwards records. It's all the same shit.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit more surface level now.
And it's sexier now.
Yeah, you didn't have to play that video backwards to get what it was trying to do.
But he did kill Satan.
Yeah. I know. Him. What's their problem?
Did you ever witness a wave of sketch comedy around Manson and the Beach Boys working together? I can think of like three things, like sketch comedy pieces that were about Manson and the Beach Boys collaborating. And they were like they were just so stupid, but laughed. So it was like the old I Think You Should Leave Now bit where he's like trying to contribute lyrics about like the spooky day. And the guy's like trying to record a legit song where it's like the Beach Boys working on some harmonies. And then like sort of the game of the sketch was like Manson breaking. He's like, yeah. And then Satan would come in and drip blood down on the thing. And they're like, we're talking about a young woman's new car that she's driving to the beach. Right. Like, all right. Yeah. Go on. I'll work on some stuff. And kept coming back with like all kinds of weird shit.
Oh, man. When you look
at that sketch is also so good that you referenced from I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah.
When you look at the like battle between within the Beach Boys, even accepting Charles Manson, like the over the lyrics, it's such a bummer because like as Brian Wilson was trying to make Pet Sounds and Smile, you had Mike Love, like who was just a like branding dude, like a marketer from the start, who was like, nah, man, it's all about the chicks and the cars
and surfboards.
Yeah. And then like when Pet Sounds didn't like sell a bunch of albums out of the gate, he like used that to just be like, see, what did I tell you, man? You don't know shit. Leave it to me, Mike Love. And that started the whole, yeah, it's a bummer.
It's a saga.
It is a saga. All right, Chelsea, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the killing of Dante Wright by the police in Minnesota. We're going to talk about police rights in Maryland, the police bill of rights. We're going to talk about White Lives Matter rallies that happened over the weekend. Michigan is peaking and not in the way you want to be peaking right now. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about infrastructure, Stallone. We might even get into all the junk food promotions happening around the world to try and get people to get vaccinated. All of that, plenty more. But first, Chelsea, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are or what you're up to?
Well, for American Hysteria, which is the podcast that I host, we're doing kind of like a big urban legends extravaganza episode. So I've been searching for like the equivalent of urban legends from the past, because we usually like to go through history with these topics. And so my search history is urban legends Civil War. And there's a really good one I want to tell you guys. Ooh. And it is that during a Civil War battle, a stray bullet, and I believe that
is it the testicle one?
Yes. Do you know this?
Yes.
Yes.
But go on. I was like, wait.
I had the testicle one. Yes. So, as you know, it goes that, and I believe that I could only find this in one place, but it was a Union bullet that, or no, a Confederate bullet. I don't know. Whoever's bullet it was doesn't matter, but
it
passed
gotta be
through
your
the scrotum of, I believe, a Union soldier and then struck, you know, like the plantation owner's daughter sitting out on her antebellum porch and it struck into her uterus. She got pregnant, potentially with a Union baby and, you know, beautiful stuff, right? It's just so that's my search history right now and kind of where my...
I don't know why. I feel like that was one of the first Civil War facts I ever learned.
Man, it makes it more interesting.
It was because I remember going, it was all through my friend. Okay, so my friend Ty, who he's like 2 years older than me. So he was like the kid who was like 2 years ahead in school. So he'd be like, yo, we're talking about the Civil War. I'm like, the what? You know what I mean? He's like, the Civil War. And so he had all these books and shit. And so I was getting like at 10 years old, a 12-year-old's version of the American Civil War based on of like one Ken Burns tape and like a couple loose books that he got from the library. And then like, so everything was like, oh, that's cool. I don't know what any of this means. But the only thing that stuck was the testicle thing. And I was like, no, that's so fucked up. And I remember saying that in class, and like my teacher was like, where did you, what?
Wait, did you think it was true? Or was it just shown
as 10 years old
legend?
I got this secondhand, yes, from a 12-year-old talking to me at 10 years old. And I was like, but that's facts.
Yeah, it's interesting because it seems like there's a pretty transparent, like, way that that lie comes about that you would be able to be like, oh, well, yeah, of course, there was probably a child conceived the old fashioned way. And the daughter was like, but that's impossible because I've never been with a man. And then,
like,
you know,
yeah,
right.
Like but, Mary.
Right. Exactly. But they, I think there's a, this sort of urban legend. Like I remember when I was in high school and like on the verge of having to deal with these sorts of things, not there by any means yet, but that like there were a lot of stories that dudes would be like, yo, I heard this girl got pregnant from like just being in like a hot tub with somebody. And
Oh, right.
So it's just like fear of, and like, you know, that of how like the conceiving a child actually happens and how like easy it is, and like all the, you know, that's a thing that is like looming over everyone's head. So yeah, they're very worried about that. So I feel like that that makes sense to me that it would have lived on in the minds of like 12-year-old boys.
Yeah, just absolutely. Like,
yo, dude, did you right. know you could just like be
psychotic
within a
panic.
Square mile? And yeah, exactly. That's wild. So Chelsea, when you're like finding out about it now, has it been, is it mostly passed on as an urban legend, or is it passed on among people like believing it?
Well, I mean, are you talking about specifically the Civil War thing or
the Civil War thing?
Yeah. I just found it from some like weird website, you know, and I had never heard it before. So
right.
it's fun that Miles, you knew it because I was like, oh shit, this is so good. but you know, it's like, it's hard to find them, the urban legends from like the past, but you can go back and like, urban legends are just like cautionary tales, right? And like
right.
tell the story of kind of like the dominant culture, right? And like, I've been thinking about, and this is also my underrated thing, because I just want to talk about it
yeah,
more,
let's do
but
it.
Urban legends, because like, go back to like the chain letters of the 90s, which we all remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the urban legends and like the gang initiation one was like, probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, with the if you're driving and yep. someone has their headlights off, you flash your headlights and the gang initiation is like, then they kill you, right? So that's like, do you guys remember this?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
Yeah. And that was like, it would like get printed out at like schools and the cops, you know, so it was just this like chain letter that traveled, you know, eventually through email. But really, it was just, and, you know, of course, that's like, the 90s is like the super predator years, right? And these huge fears of gangs and the moral panic around all of that kind of, you know, post-80s like trickle up effect of all of that racism from Reagan years and then the Clinton years. And so it's like, I just think urban legends are really interesting because, you know, a lot of times they're for teenagers, but a lot of times, you know, we're seeing them again with like, you know, white women talking about how someone was following them in the grocery store and trying to sex traffic them. You know, it's like, I don't know. I remember the ones of like, you know, it was, it's always like women who are, who should be afraid, right? And who shouldn't be out in the world as much because of all of the dangers. You know, there's like the cautionary tale about the hook, which everybody knows, where, you know, the girl and the guy are parking. And that's when, you know, and then there's all the like, the hook is the phallic symbol. And, you know, there's all the like psychotherapy babble stuff about it. So I just think it's like, I don't know, it can tell you a lot about like what we fear at the time and the stories that we're telling about our fears. And,
right.
You know, you can go back to Stranger Danger time, like poison Halloween candy and like the stranger
right.
that's out to just murder children for no good reason. You know, that's
right.
like a big, you know, like as if people are just like handing out razor blades and apples to children, you know, willy
yeah.
nilly, which is, of course, an urban legend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting what gets targeted. Like the urban legends trained me very well to always check the backseat of my car anytime
oh, yeah.
I got in it at night
oh,
during
yeah.
the day. I don't give a shit. But
or like wipe the mouth of a aluminum can because the person who accidentally ate rat shit and died because the sodas were stored in a warehouse near rat poop.
Well, that's a true story. That's a true story, Miles.
Yeah, well, either way, that had me wiping the shit out of every can, like from age 12 to 17. Where you're like,
man, there was a big panic around Pepsi's containing syringes.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Like, remember that? It was just like, and then just a bunch of people were just fucking putting syringes in their soda so they could be on the news.
What are they, cops?
I don't know. I don't think.
Swear to God, you say you're a cop and they put a tampon in your coffee.
Oh, I know. I know.
Miles, it sounds like yours were actually like useful. Urban legends. Like,
well, it's different, right? Because
a lot of these
chain letters and urban legends were just like racist conspiracy theories going from analog to digital.
Oh yeah, right.
Started off being like, yo, you heard your aunt heard with her other fucked up aunt friends that are now telling your mom about some shit.
Yeah,
and then now came the chain letter. That was the digital version that was like, if you don't do this, because this is how this group you don't know is living or whatever. Yeah, I think the ones that stuck with me were the ones purely that felt like because the headlight thing, I remember, I think, saying to my dad, and he was like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, we drive through where these gangs are, and that's not how these gangs work. Yeah. And
Do you guys remember the knockout game, too? That was a big, like, racist urban
more modern
legend.
Version.
Yeah.
I feel like the lights, the headlights one is probably has like some bodies to its name because of the fact that people were probably less likely to like blink their lights to be like, hey, your lights are off, you're driving around. Like, that's such a like counterproductive, unhealthy one to just be like, yo, don't do that because they might murder you for telling them that they're driving around with their lights off.
I've never even thought about that. Like, what actually created it must have. You're totally right.
Yeah. Oof. And also just
what's the logic of
probably
the game?
Driving around with the people in the back with people thinking people are in the backseat of your car might have distracted a few drivers.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Miles? What's the logic?
What's the logic of the gang, though? You're like, okay, you want to be down?
Oh, we got a hero here, huh?
Oh, okay. So you want to explode a face? Well. Is that what you're trying to do, young man? You're trying to get down? Okay, so when you're driving, somebody flashes their lights at you because you forgot to turn yours on. You kill them because we hate helpful people in this
gang.
Yes. Usually, like, if you're in a gang, you're not gonna commit violence and risk going to jail unless it's to attack a rival gang.
It's like
when you watch mobster documentaries or anything else, they're always like, you're not gonna risk going to jail over civilians,
right?
That's like, if you're really like, there's a whole other world to that where it's like, no. Enemy combatants are the people that are perceived enemy combatants. However, that gets all fucked up. But yeah. Anyway, but shout out to the anti-headlight gang.
What is something you think is overrated, Chelsea?
You know, I think, like, this is like going in a totally different direction, but we just re-released an episode that we did called Monsters, and it's all about sort of like the language of the monstrous, right? Which does go back to urban legends too. But I think like the uncomplicated heroism of science is what I'm saying, because, you know, there's like so much to like the theory of evolution and Charles Darwin's theory being, you know, applied to schools, right? Which we were always like, evolution, yes, like we have to teach that in school. But originally, you know, it was a justification for eugenics. So, right, this war, but the Scopes trial, which is just the most bonkers thing to read about. We cover it in our episode called Children's Programming. But it's like, it's just such a like all out bonanza, because it was basically like some dude wanting coverage of his town so that the town would become more successful and popular. And so he like whipped up this plan to have this trial about this controversial thing happen. And they like got a guy to, you know, break the law of teaching evolution. And it was just like a total PR stunt for this town. And, you know, we just look back at these things like they're so uncomplicated. And like we're all taught that all the time. But I think like talking about how complicated science has been in terms of eugenics and these different things, because it's so easy to talk about like the conservative errors. God, I'm so sorry I said errors. The conservative, like, please, God, the conservative, you know, horrors are also matched by sort of a similar progressive white supremacy that's just kind of manifesting in a really different way, but it's still the same thing. And I don't know. I just really, really think that I mean, this is like not an unpopular opinion, but just really getting into the complications of our history and not seeing our side as heroic is just something I've been thinking about all the time, especially now when we have like a culture war. Like, we always have this culture war, and it's always like really, really complicated. And so I don't know. I think that's what I've been thinking about a lot lately.
Yeah, I think in America's memory, you know, the World War II is important for a lot of reasons, but it allows Americans to forget that throughout like the first three decades of the 20th century, eugenics was the popular thing with progressives. Like, that was like the cool thing that people coming out of like Ivy League schools believed and like thought was like a good idea. And,
or like progressive to help like black people through what you've learned about eugenics, like the benign version, like in this way we can help the Negro reach their potential.
Yes.
Like, get the fuck out of here with
it's
this
like
shit.
A really big white saviorism moment.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think it starts to really like go from there.
Yeah, because you've turned your racism into saviorism, and now it's like, no, this feels way better than we're like angry. We're like, we're just saying, aw.
We're just doing science, you know.
Yeah, we're
just
doing like science. We're just measuring their brain.
Yeah, we're just like looking at a skull shape and determining someone's human worth, you know.
Yeah,
like,
the reason you're stealing is because of the distance between the tip of your nose and the peak of your brow ridge. It's actually not because of an utter lack of options available to you you live. It's that damn measurement.
We can't do anything about it. It's just the way it is, you know. And it's
But if we identify these people, then we can start corralling them together and then weeding that out. Wow, does that sound?
Yeah. Right. And then we act like we were just complete and utter heroes of World War II and we didn't inspire like a great deal of that thinking. And both sides, you know, it's just there's no innocent party in the past. And
it's because it's like the latest controversy, global controversy, allows every nation to forget what happened right before that. So it's like, World War II, forget about whatever happened. Mm-hmm. Don't forget all that. Mm-hmm. We beat the Nazis, huh? That was great. And then you're coasting off of that till the next thing. And then other countries can now be like, oh, yeah, well, we did that. So now we can kind of forget about everything because of that weird goalpost we have in our history.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wonder how much guilt is tied to how like powerful a mythos becomes, because another thing that like the knowledge that there's a lie there, I feel like I talk a lot on the show about how like white supremacy there, like in a lot of cases there is the knowledge that it's wrong, and like that powers a lot of it, like sort of that cognitive dissonance and like them knowing that they're lying and knowing that their beliefs are completely full of shit, like powers a lot of the hatred and like anger and just the energy. And like with World War II, you have like heading into it the fact that America and like America's business leaders were really into eugenics, and then coming out of it, like we had the Cold War. And that was somewhat convenient because it allowed us to completely paper over the fact that like Russia essentially won World War II for the Allies. Like, they were the
I don't know, man. You see how poor they look? It's like, what? No, do you know what happened? Do you know what happened when the Germans went? Okay, whatever. Forget it.
Yeah. When you just look at the numbers of like people Nazis killed and the number of lives lost on Russia versus the United States, it's like not even comparable. And I do feel like maybe that's where like some of the Cold War energy comes from, is knowing that there's that lie there and like wanting to be able to perpetuate it.
Right. Stalin always like smirking at the president's like, yeah, all right, bitch. All right, I see you. Uh-huh. All right, Truman. Uh-huh. 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 You know, let me tell you something that's not true, man. like, fuck, I hate this guy. If I gotta see him again and he starts ribbing me about World War II, we're gonna have to bomb them.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate. Whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier, Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang?
I know I do.
Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And so on Sunday afternoon, a reportedly unarmed 20-year-old man named Dante Wright was stopped by police for what he believed at the time, and we don't know specifics, but he called his mom right away and said that he was being stopped because he has an air freshener on his rearview mirror, which apparently is a law in Minnesota that... Yeah. Is constantly used to just allow the police to stop whoever the fuck they want because, you know, it's just
shitty pretext for detaining somebody, huh?
So, you know, first of all, it just speaks volumes that he felt the need to call his mom while he was being pulled over. And now we have video of what happened during the stop. They were trying to arrest him. He got back in his car, and so the officer and a second officer like ran up and she grabbed a gun from the first officer's waist, yelled, "Taser, taser," and then fatally shot him. And he speeds off, and like you literally hear her say, "I shot him, shit." And the other cops like have this like response, like, ah, damn. And then after the fact, his mom was at the scene of, you know, where he, where his dead body was all day while the police just left him there on the pavement. She just kept asking them to pick his body up off the ground. They wouldn't do it. They knew what happened. They knew who was to blame. And like, I can't conceive of, first of all, what his mom was going through, but second of all, like, what was going through their head when they're, you know, somebody that they've unlawfully killed is lying there and they're just leaving him there.
You know, because they got to fucking make up a story.
Right. Well, right.
This, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the reading that he called his mother seems very normal. I think a lot of Black people now,
yeah,
there's, you have macros for your phone to do a couple things on your phone and immediately go live with whatever's happening to you to try and create some kind of living document, recording, accountability record for you in the unfortunately possible scenario in which a police officer is going to become violent and possibly end your life.
Right.
And yeah, you look at this, he has a little baby child, Dante Jr. And I don't know. This is just never going to end. You know what I mean? Right. This shit's never going to end. Doesn't matter how many fucking black tiles people post on Instagram and how many companies are like, "We're listening." Man, that doesn't fucking matter. Like, unless legislators are listening, that doesn't even matter. Like, unfortunately, like, we're going to have to be the people that are going to have to guarantee these outcomes for each other through actual pressure campaigns to actually trying to find other ways to keep our community safe, because this pack of fucking wild assholes with guns has proven time and again that they don't even know the difference between a gun and a taser now,
right?
Because their whatever their racist fight or flight response goes off by being in the presence of a black body or a person of color or on someone who needs support, whether that's for their mental health or whatever. This shit just isn't it. And it's just going to be the same outcomes over and over and over again. And your just heart breaks for a mother who has to beg for the dignity of the corpse of her child to be removed or at least covered. Yeah. Like, it's just all fuck. I don't know. It's just, it's constant. It's constant. And so, you know, it's like all for all the shit that will come out of this, unfortunately, and that inspires more people to have to take to the streets to voice their absolute disapproval and heartbreak over this happening, and then cue the fucking goon squads who are, you know, and like
coming
like
in with
cries, asking,
right,
"Well, please, please remain peaceful."
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And then shooting, you know, rubber bullets and flashbangs,
and the response is just completely different than the response at the Capitol. I mean, I know that's cliche to say, but it's just like, they just always, you know, I've been to enough protests, that feeling when they all roll out of their fucking vans, look, you know, and their stormtrooper shit is like, I don't know. And, you know, the gathering is so small, you know, and compared to the response. And it's just, it's always the same, like you said. And that part of it's always the same, too.
Right. And I just hope at some point, like, people, if you're just seeing this pattern over and over, like, you know, most allies and people of color knew what time it was from the beginning. Some more people are starting to understand, like, oh right, there is a lot of racial inequality, and like, whatever, if it took you this long, fine, at least you figured it out, but please keep figuring it out, because it can't just be like, oh, that sucks, because we're gonna keep seeing this, and maybe the pattern will set in for a group of people who are not as moved by this kind of shit to see, oh, every time they don't give a fuck about what happens, they will kill somebody, and then they're going to knuckle up and say, what the fuck are you going to do about it? You're going to do shit. Now sit the fuck back down and let us kill people undisturbed and carry on with what we do as police. That's the cycle every fucking time. And so I think for some people, it's starting to get old. But I think, but it hasn't, again, like so many things in this country, we're so fucking, like, we still haven't reached these tipping points where enough people are like, oh my, this is just, it's the same shit every time. It's the same shit every time. And we're not doing anything about it. And also demanding the that the fucking people that represent us in government also are on the same page rather than like, oh my, I hear you. Mm-hmm. So bad. It's so bad. I actually just watched Watchmen this weekend to try and get a little more understanding. And I see that we shouldn't mess with drugs that alter our sense of memory. That was the biggest thing I got from that film or that series. But yeah, like it's just.
The human mind is a drug that alters the sense of memory. We love doing
it. And I think it's important too that we don't get to the point where we're like awokened or whatever. And then suddenly we're just the good guys. Speaking of white people, I mean, you know, and like, it's the same thing. Like you become progressive and you just got to keep, you know, keep going with the ways that you're contributing to the situation too. And I think it's easy to just, and I think it's important to be really engaged in the particular fight, just like in a simple way. Right. But then if you forget like the fact that you have accountability in America as well, no matter how liberal or how leftist you are as a white person. And I think that that's like something that we can easily forget and is just as important for like an actual move forward. Right. Yeah. Rather than some another way for like a corporation or a person to put up a black square and be done with it, you know.
And I think, you know, white people, you got to be passive for a really long time in this country and still experience progress on some level. You can no longer be passive. I'm sorry. It's just that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. People of color and other oppressed people don't have the privilege to be passive. Like we have to be on all the time. We're in survival mode to some degree, whether we like it or not, to the point that a lot of people of color have a lot of survivor's guilt when they get to places where they can relax because they only know one mode, which is just to have your head on a swivel. This country is not for me. It's telling me this actively. So I have to operate within that. You can't be passive in a mindset like that. And in fact, and the people who are looking to create progress have to be passive as well, because progress itself is not a passive act. It's about being active, proactive. That's the only way you can bring about progress. If you are passive and you're just saying, look, I get that the cops are, ACAB, you know, the cops fucking suck. And like, it's so unfair what happens to people in this country. That's passive. Right. You just merely acknowledging it is too passive an act, and it's not going to bring the progress around. That's where you can now weaponize your whiteness for good, and really start thinking of how you can use your influence with. And I'll keep saying this shit every six, eight months if I have to. Figure out how the fuck you can improve shit from wherever you're at. Mm-hmm. No one's asking anybody to change the world out the gate, but. Certainly don't sit back. And if you have, you know, family later on in life, say, what did you during this time? Don't say, well, I knew it was bad.
Right.
Be able to point to some shit, even if it was like, oh, I checked in on these families. I gave to these groups. I volunteered my time. I really tried to actually decolonize my own mind of all the propaganda and shit I've been fed through the media to try and arrive at a new sense of awareness that I can find a way to be productive and actually contribute to this thing that I'm saying I want, which is progress. Because if you're passive right now and you're just retweeting shit, that ain't enough. Like, think about the energy you can actually put into it. Think of the energy you can dedicate to this on some
level.
Yeah,
and if it's daunting, you know, like that's what you said, is like nobody's expecting you to change the world right out the gate. And I think so many of us are raised to think like, I need to make this like massive impact or I'm not going to do anything, almost. It's like an ego trip kind of thing, you know, but instead of just being like, I like to think of it in a nice way where like, you know, there's like some sort of a meter in life and you can just tip it just like the tiniest bit in the direction you want. Right. And that's great. You know, and I think just don't get paralyzed by this daunting thing and just like go help somebody on your block or just do anything, you know.
No, exactly. And I think the idea that one person or a finite number of people are going to solve it is the trick of white supremacy, to be like, well, fuck. I mean, I just can't do and get my neighbors. That's not going to work like that. No, of course not. But that's to your point. If a ton of people start making a lot of little changes, shit will begin differently. Even if that's like checking people in your friend group, family, to be like, don't fucking first of all, the shit that you're saying is racist. It's destructive. And you actually need to think about how you can remedy that or whatever, or how you can bring up people in your workplace or community and things like that. But if everyone just little subtle shit, or fucking not being a bystander in a hate crime, or right, even recording police that you think are using excessive force on somebody, to record it, to say, I will, mm-hmm, hey, I saw that shit. I will testify in a court to say, I saw what the fuck they did to you. That's fucked up. I'll do whatever. I don't give a fuck, because that's wrong. We just need to adopt that mindset more. But unfortunately, it's just too comfortable to be passive, and too many people, their lives can remain similar by being passive. So there's not a lot of incentive for people to get active. But that's the thing you hope to connect with. If you see stories like this and they break your heart, yeah, then put some energy into it. Put some energy into it, because that will, you actually will be able to contribute to something larger. And again, no one's asking whoever's listening now to solve it, but shit, put some energy into it. Just some.
Yeah.
We're almost asking you not to solve it, right? Like, right, just so just that you there can just yeah solve it. Be
just
there
change
and
your mindset.
And everybody yeah has a skill set that they can work with. You know, like, we kind of act, there's not one way to do something. There's not one way to, you know, affect change. And I just, I do. I think I just wish we could all just do a small thing and be humble. And,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And I think don't let racism, systemic oppression like this fool you into thinking nothing can be done about it. Because that's how it fucking carries on. That's yeah how this fucking whole system carries on, is this. It breaks you down to the point, like, we're seeing, what the fuck am I going to do? Even me, what am I going to do as a black and Asian man going to do? Nonstop anti-Asian violence, nonstop black people being killed. What the fuck can I do? But I don't have that mindset. My mindset is to get on this mic, and if I can say some shit to make people think a certain way, then fuck it, I'll do that. If I can check other people in my life and say, yo, I got to tell you something. You should actually, this, the way you speak is not good. You need to actually think about it. Then I'll do that. If I have to donate money, I'll do that. If I want to but just, it's, no one's, look, not everyone has the same resources and access to things, but we all have access to our empathy and access to just the human decency that we can extend to other people in whatever way that is. And I think that just needs to be more normal and encouraged.
Absolutely.
Without it being tied to, like, I'm doing this to solve systemic white supremacy, like systemic white yeah supremacy. No, I'm yeah doing this to see somebody and say, I'm going to help. If someone needs help, I can help. It doesn't have to always be in the binary of black or white either, because yeah that's another pitfall this country falls into of sure just is thinking that the only things that are going on are between black and white people. And that's just absurd.
And that it's not a class issue since the beginning, too. Right. And just, it sucks.
Fuck. Yeah. Actually showing, like, that they're one of the details as I was following the story this morning, like, they had actual activists there at the press conference asking questions of the police chief, and the police chief, you know, some of the things they did when people protested outside of the precinct last night, they turned the lights off everywhere so they could just start, you know, presumably start, like, wailing on people. And the person was able to be like, I've been at all the protests and I've never seen anything like that. And the chief he was like, they were throwing pop cans. They were throwing he kept, like, stumbling over bricks. So it seemed like he wanted to say bricks, but, like, couldn't actually, like, back it up. Right. But
it was actually Bratz dolls.
But that's something that I'm definitely, just personally, I feel like getting physically on the ground is something that I haven't been doing to this point that I want to start doing, because I think just in general, like, the police response to any question of their authority, it just makes, like, the way they respond to that just makes it so clear. And I think the more people that we can get peacefully protesting, the more it's going to be stark and clear to people that, like, when they're facing violent police officers who are, you know, shooting at them and tear gassing them for just, you know, exercising their right. Like,
it's a powerful experience when you go somewhere to, you know, for the defense of people.
Yeah.
And then you're met with just absurd violence.
Yeah.
It very quickly, you will begin to see how, where the power lies and like what the end goals are for people. Because it's like, oh, you're here to advocate for the weak. Oh, well, we're here to push the weak around.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Shows you something. And I think if the more people can begin distilling those lessons into seeing like what all of this means in like the larger scale, you know, will hopefully help us move towards like collectively fixing our fucking future.
Yeah. Because this was in Minnesota, Chauvin's defense attorney, Chauvin, whatever the fuck his name, Derek Chauvin, his defense attorney, already trying to use this as a pretext to have the jury like sequestered and presumably delay the trial. But unfortunately, because of people like his client, you would just never have a trial if you had to wait every time a police officer murdered someone unjustly. Right. So, yeah, hopefully it seems like the judge saw through that and hopefully continues to.
Yeah, I was like, no, I think it's that didn't create any tampering of the jury.
I think he just said, like, the news goes on. You know, you can't sequester people from reality.
Right.
It's
right. Like, and unfortunately, that is the news going on.
The big goal.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk briefly related subject to what's happening in Maryland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the cops are out here saying, hey, don't I got rights? The police bill of rights? I thought we had that fucking 1973. So Maryland, basically, they've just began the official skull fucking and canceling of the police bill of rights, which dates back to 1973 when a group of cops basically began crying to politicians over how they were being poorly treated by like police commanders that were doing things like discipline them for fucking up. And I think this must have been an era when there was like, I guess, like, the three cops that still were like trying to be like, hey, hey, we don't do that. We're like kind of what the media is trying to show us to be of cops. And then this new batch is like, nah, we don't fuck with this. So this law enforcement officer's Bill of Rights was a first in the nation law that basically created these workplace protections for cops that were like that ushered in this era of absolute fuckery we're seeing, like including giving officers a formal waiting period before they had to cooperate with an internal investigation. Scrubbing records of complaints brought against officers after a certain period. If you're a good boy, then bing, nope, it's bye. And ensuring that only police officers, not civilians, could investigate them. So this is essentially this is when they put their protective blankie over them. Nixon is president at this time and screaming about law and order. And I think the idea or the feeling in the country was that like crime was going up because people weren't regularly getting the shit kicked out of them by police, not because of, again, lack of opportunity or resources in here. It's the lack of beatings and bludgeonings and shootings of innocent people that is creating the crime. So this basically ushered in this new era. And yes, the fact that Maryland is now getting around to repealing this, you know, Larry Hogan, who's the governor, tried to veto it, but they were able to override the governor's veto to get the shit going. And Governor Hogan had to say, quote, "The original intent had been overtaken by political agendas that do not serve the public safety needs of the citizens of Maryland." He said the changes would, quote, "further erode police morale, community relationships, and public confidence." Fucking same state that where Freddie Gray's spine was severed mysteriously, and we still have no accountability for his death. That it wasn't that that's gonna, you know, fuck
hurt
up
their morale.
Community relationships or public confidence. Right. The fuck are you what the fuck is police morale?
Right.
How seriously quickly they can get an erection at the thought of murdering a black person. Like, what the fuck is that? This shit is like so, the dog whistles are so bad now. Like, it can only mean one thing. This guy from the fucking Popo frat, Angelo Consoli, he says, "The reality is they have reinvented policing in the state of Maryland. They're going to make it tougher for the police to police. There's reform, and this went beyond reform." What does that mean for the police to police?
Right. Just rough people up with impunity and kill people with impunity.
So if the things you're taking away are, you know, this ability, because I'm sorry, I think at its longest point, you could have a 5-day period where you didn't have to talk to investigators if some shit went down. that's a lot of time to figure out what your improv group is going to do on stage.
Right.
You know, when you have to lie about what the fuck happened. That's what shit like that does. And even when Freddie Gray died, the mayor was like, it's this police bill of rights, unfortunately, that makes this impossible to really get any kind of accountability here. So I guess when you have things like mandating body cameras, allowing for citizen oversight, and ending no-knock warrants, those are the things that make policing hard to do? Accountability?
Right.
Accountability? So what is policing exactly? Based on, like, let's follow this. What does that mean then? Because, again, all you're saying is, hey, y'all, you know we gotta fuck these people up. That's what the cops are. Right. And if we can't fuck them up, then what the fuck are we doing here? I don't know. Maybe you should go. Maybe this isn't for you.
Right. For all the any police officer whose morale this like dampens, maybe they should not be police. Maybe they should be so down in the dumps that they find a new line of work that doesn't allow them to, kill people with impunity.
I feel like it's like really important to think about 1973, you know, like you gave context, but that's like right after the Black Panthers, right? And that's like right after Fred Hampton was killed by like a clearly deeply, deeply illegal, but completely protected murder, like next level murder, right?
Yeah.
Like unreal type of murder, not that any murder, you know what I mean, though, like the excessive force that is.
It was a hit. It was an assassination. That's like two. No. It was like a hit. Like
for anybody who hasn't seen Judas and the Black Messiah or doesn't know the story, like he's drugged in his bed and they walk in and assassinate him. Like just point
blank. Just spray of so many.
Right.
Like so many bullets.
Like to the point it wasn't merely an assassination would maybe be like how Putin does it, where you show up strangled. Or you fell out of a building, or one shot to the head or something like that. Not riddled with bullets.
No.
But
that's like the catharsis of white supremacy.
He
being
was
let out
drugged
of
the night before by an FBI informant. That's why he was drugged in his bed and was still asleep after like being shot a number of times and after there were hundreds of bullets fired into his apartment. And then the police walked in and shot him in the head point blank after all the shooting was done.
And it was defensive, right, in the end, because one of the Black Panthers, like the security guy, his weapon
fired a
discharged.
Shot.
And, there's a lot of argument that that was not a non-intentional shot, right? And so and then it's also the Weather Underground time, too, right, which is a complicated topic. But there's just the early 70s are so much kind of like right now. And so I think it's really interesting that bill is coming up at this moment, at like kind of a similar culture war.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
But I think now the opinion is less on the side of like, oh no, what are we going to do? And now everybody's like, the white people are joining the Black Panthers and shit. So
well,
I don't
that's
see
what Weather Underground was, I guess.
Right. Like that's what we'll see how much of a difference that makes. Cause what is this? 47 years, 48 years.
Yeah.
You know, that's generations of people being tormented with these laws, and we'll see if this momentum can continue. But we still do have, unfortunately, this huge resistance to like this idea of like reimagining what policing is, because even without imagining, we're observing what it is, and it's completely fucked up and nonsensical.
Yeah.
So, to say like, this is dangerous. It's like, no, that's because you know what? That's because you're not experiencing the police like other people are.
Right.
So, and for you, the police means a completely different thing.
Yeah, you're not being stopped for having something hang from your dashboard.
Which isn't even because they're interested in that. They just go, huh, there's a high chance that this might end with something. Maybe I can arrest this person.
Yep.
Maybe I can fuck their day up. Yep. And shit, if I'm lucky enough, I can get violent.
Yeah. All right, let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
And we're back. And, you know, just in kind of staying up to date on where we're at with COVID-19 in the United States, it feels like nationally there's like this vaccine optimism waxing. People are starting to feel a new set of circumstances coming. But then there are states that are seeing their numbers hit new highs, like Michigan is closing on a new high for new cases, which has led the CDC to suggest that they close back down to levels that they were at like last spring and over the summer when, you know, everybody was in full lockdown. So it'll just be interesting to see like how much harder it is to like pull off a shutdown locally when like the rest of the country is, you know, when you don't have, I think the most important thing we found from the pandemic is those TV ads letting us know that we're not alone. And now more than ever, they understand.
Sprint is with us.
Yeah.
Now more than ever, eat shit.
Right. But yeah, it'll be, you know, they're going to have to be like localized responses that aren't necessarily matched by the rest of the country. And we'll see how that goes. But
yeah. I think maybe we're moving into the little fires everywhere phase.
Yep.
Which is kind of what I think these other waves are going to kind of look like, depending on, you know,
good book.
Vaccinations.
Shout out Celeste Ng.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's like, it's wild to see that graph. And I'm like, oh, well, that other, it is the worst time ever is when the last peak was. And it's mirroring that, which is super frightening.
Yeah. Fortunately, the deaths are not peaking anymore because the doctors are getting better and better at treating people who come in with COVID, but still it's killing people. Like people are dying. So it is a problem.
And I mean, God, I'm curious. I hope this doesn't impact people's enthusiasm to enter healthcare or medicine because you want to talk about morale being fucking low. Well, fuck the police. Working in medicine right now couldn't be more of a grim proposition for someone.
Yeah, I've heard of physicians taking their own life pretty recently, and that seems like it's kind of endemic right now.
I mean, yeah, to think like when you get into something to help people and then your hands are tied by the speed of medicine, how it, a government is trying to protect people or not protect, but actually encourage people to end up at your place of work being confused and sick and not having the wherewithal to be able to help them. Right. Like, yeah, it's like, it's just, it's, yeah, I'm hoping we're able to really shout out all the essential workers after this, truly, but it doesn't, it feels like we're so quick to move on. Like the amount of shit I see, like on the Apple News app, the things that it'll put at the top, it's like signs that things are getting back to normal, but it's always the Wall Street Journal that is doing that shit. I'm like, no one fucking asked you, corpo cum rag.
Oh my God.
Just shut up. And make with your fucking Wall Street tips rather than all this stuff. It's like, everything's going to be okay. Here's some companies that are doing the right thing right now.
Right. Yeah.
Please don't start seeding the environment with these stories that'd be like, you know, that springtime is here and it's time to cast away all our concerns because it's beginning to happen very quickly.
All right. Let's talk briefly about infrastructure.
It'd be nice to have some.
Yeah.
Here.
All right. Moving on.
Yeah. That's it. That's really my take. My idea. I just read this thing about France and I was like, oh, it must be nice. But, you know, it's like a lot of nations are, especially America, takes its sweet fucking time trying to figure out how to combat CO2 emissions. There's like little examples of like just small things you can do to have positive outcomes. Like in France, you know, when they're not busy enacting just horrifically Islamophobic hijab laws and, you know, robbing people of agency. Because that's just not how we get down here. Ugh. They are really trying to figure out like a practical way to combat emissions. And not that I'm just saying like, oh, yes, shout out to them. But it's just an example, right? That they've been trying to reconfigure in internal domestic flights by saying if there is a flight, an internal domestic flight that can be covered by train in under 2.5 hours, we ain't doing that flight anymore. We're just not doing it. It doesn't make sense because then you can take a fucking train because on average, the plane emits 77 times more CO2 per passenger than the train. So that's like a little thing you can do. Okay.
So that's the government. Riding the train. It's so wonderful.
But we already got like things where like Republicans are like, oh, giving money to Amtrak. It's like,
right.
What the fuck are you talking
that's
about?
That's what my first thought was like, wait, so the government's telling them to do that and they're listening without like a enormous political backlash on like a bunch of militia people like
they also do shit like be like, oh, Air France, you need some money. Okay, well, guess who owns part of that now? The government.
Right.
Because you needed some bailout money. Where here it's like, it's my friend though. It's like, well, if you were really thinking, imagine you were thinking like a businessman. If another business person came up to you and said, hey, let me get a loan, you'd be like, okay, give me a stake in your fucking company. That's your fucking head.
Right.
Now come up with that ownership scheme.
It's not like the U.S. government hasn't bailed out the airlines like constantly. It's just they know they just it's bad PR. Them. Right. Is it bad PR to nationalize them?
I mean, and exactly. That's all it is bad PR. It's actually good policy and it makes for better outcomes by not allowing these greedy fucks to do whatever the fuck they want. So anyway, along those lines, it's just saying it's stuff like this that the U.S. should be thinking about more aggressively because the other thing is like as much as they're like, oh, we're going to go electric. All electric, everything. It's going to be Electric Avenue. It's the Main Street Electrical Parade, the one you see our fucking fleets coming down the street. Okay, fine. But that's not, electric cars alone will not solve this crisis. Like, especially when you consider the carbon footprint for the production and transport of electric vehicles. It's not like, oh, electric. Cycling is actually going to have to factor in on some level for us to really cut down on emissions. And I was just reading this other piece, especially looking at things happening in Europe as a result of pandemic. Like, I think overall, like, interest in cycling has gone up in this country, myself included. Like, I use a bike way more than I used to. But just looking at simple things like this, in this study, they found urban residents who switched from driving to cycling for just one trip per day reduced their carbon footprint by about a half ton of CO2 over the course of a year. Wow. And that's essentially the same as the equivalent emissions from a one-way flight from London to New York. So, and if just 1 in 5 urban residents permanently change their travel behavior in this way over the next few years, it could cut emissions of car travel to close to 8% in Europe, specifically in this analysis. So, like, just
build the bike. Like, you see places that have bike lanes and you're like, oh, wow. Why wouldn't I bike there? Why? Because right. It's safe. LA is like fucking Mad Max. Like, you got to be like, oh, I hope you're built to ride a bike in these streets because nobody's saving you. It's just different levels of encouragement. I think we need them.
There used to be a thing at, like, when I worked for a tech company where they would ask you if you drove to work and they would actually be able to enforce it because you wouldn't get a parking spot if you said that you, like, rode a bike to work, and then you would get, like, a tax break, I think, or something. This was in LA, but that's, like, rather than going through your employer, why not just make it so that people, like, can report for riding a bike everywhere and, like, get some sort of credit that doesn't require all sorts of, you know, the U.S. just makes things super complicated and favoring of employers over employees so that they don't lose the power to the, you know, so capital doesn't lose the power to the people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, even with New York, right? All the stuff that is being proposed, like, how can we reuse the streets smarter?
Right.
You know, because clearly COVID led to a movement of, like, reclaiming these streets for as, like, public spaces or no car spaces and, like, using bikes and things like that. To waste that opportunity to apply that sort of thinking across the country is such a missed opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And for, like, people like to ride bikes in LA, which is wild. Like, there are many opportunities to ride your bike with groups or whatever. You can fucking, there's, like, certain paths that you can take. But it's not enough where it feels like a city that's thinking about people who ride bicycles. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you're in, just to give people that encouragement would be just such a natural way where someone's like, oh, fuck yeah, I would love to ride in a protected bike path rather than worrying if I'm going to get sideswiped by a Costco delivery truck because nobody's looking. That, like, just passively, like, just it can't cost that much money. It can't cost that much money. And you're damn sure not spending it to help unhoused people. So what the fuck are y'all doing?
Right. And, like, COVID's lockdowns, like, nature just sort of started to blossom in this weird way because a lot of the pollution was cut down. And so it's like you said, it's this missed opportunity to be like, okay, so this is, like, the effect of us doing X, Y, and Z. So then we obviously can't keep going at that rate. But how can we apply some of the, you know, the improvements, as negative as everything's been, the environmental improvements of us just, like, not fucking with everything constantly, right? So it's like, I hope that I am dubious, but I do hope we will take stuff from that.
It makes it disheartening. Yeah.
It's like, there's been some coverage of that being, like, somewhat exaggerated. Eco, like, benefits and, like, the, you know, dolphins have returned to the canals of Venice. I think that was
that was fake.
Did I get duped?
but I think there, you know, overall, there's definitely been a decrease in flights, decrease in, you know, miles driven. And I was just thinking as you guys were talking about, like, things that we could take from the pandemic. If we're allowed to just wear sweats from now on, like, everywhere,
perfect,
it doesn't matter. Then I can ride my bike to work and not worry about the fact that I sweat through three shirts.
We have to become a post-drip society.
Yes. Thank you.
I feel
thank
like you. We have to move into a post-drip culture because the drip is, you know, directly related to capitalism, consumer capitalism. And I think if we can move to a post-drip economy, a post-drip society, a lot of ills will be remedied. Because I think to outwardly be able to, you know, evoke your status with your clothes is the first game that shit plays on you to begin sort of rat racing towards nonsense.
And post drip in the sense that I will be completely
dripping in sweat.
Dripping in sweat, and people just have to get over that. Yeah. Well, Chelsea, as always, such a pleasure having you on the show. Where can people find you and follow you?
Well, thank you both. I always love being here. So anytime you want me back, I just think you are both so brilliant.
Oh, no.
And let's see. So Instagram at American Hysteria Podcast, Twitter at Amer Hysteria. And yeah, our show covers a lot of the stuff I talked about today. Conspiracy theories, moral panics, fantastical thinking from, like, a sociological perspective. So check it out if you like the bullshit I talk about. and thanks
so
again, guys.
Yeah. Thanks. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
You know what? I'm going to bring it back to some celebrity gossip, if that's cool.
And I just thought that this was a nice piece of news. And the tweet is from Naya Don't Give a F. And it's, I like Macaulay Culkin. He's sweet and he's been through a lot. And I don't think he's as ugly as people make him out to be. So I love Macaulay Culkin. I've been rooting for this dude my whole life. So I'm happy that he's happy. He's got a nice, lovely child that I don't think anybody's seen yet. But
oh, no one has seen him in Brenda Song's child?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's who he's with, right?
Yeah, Brenda Song. I was just about to say, yeah, she... And I didn't know they were together. I didn't know anything about this.
Me either.
Is Brenda Song famous for something?
I think she's from like Disney stuff. Yeah. And she was in Social Network. I know that.
Okay.
Word. Yeah. But, and you know, just a happy little couple. And what? I think he's doing good. And I wish him and her the best.
I mean, yeah, Jack, you come on, bro. You remember when we used to get ripped and watch Sweet Life of Zach and Cody?
Right, right. Oh, Brenda Song.
Yeah, Brenda Sweet Life.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray, and also twitch.tv/420dayfiance to come check us out when we record 420 Day Fiance, where we just talk trash reality. You know, it's we try not to get too into the social justice shit because it's like our time to bullshit, but inevitably we get pulled right back in because that's the world we're in. Some tweets that I like. First one from Dahlia Malik, past guest at Dahlia, and just tweeted a parenthetical, all male lineups of stand-up comedy is back. shit goes back to normal. Shit is going back to that fucked up kind of normal, it seems like, for some of the bills I've seen. And this is from Andrew Nadeau, tweeting, make a movie about the TA who had to teach 90% of Indiana Jones's classes.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Please do. What happened there? How did he keep his job?
And just all the...
This he is seems just, so disorganized as a
so disorganized, so distracted. Like, every time he was in class, running off to a different thing. And, like, the girls were always, like, crushing on him, which made me think, like, there was, like, a weird dynamic there. I don't know.
Regaling them of Nazi punching stories.
Yeah, yeah.
But they weren't woke enough back then that would have been that cool.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Indiana Jones right now, like, oh, my God, you were punching Nazis in the 40s. Like, yeah, you know?
Right.
98 now.
Back then, they were like, but they have some thoughts on eugenics that other class was just teaching me are pretty swell.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. Show some of the other professors, Professor Indiana Jones was talking. Who were his colleagues around the time?
Right,
Some tweets I've been enjoying. I just want to give a shout out to Anna Drezin, former Cracked writer, current SNL writer. She tweeted, genuine stupid joy to write this impossibly stupid bit with Bowen Yang, who is the Celine Dion of comedy. He delivers, and it's the Bowen Yang's appearance on A Weekend Update, portraying the iceberg that sunk the Titanic. And it's so good. It's my favorite thing I've seen on SNL in a long time. But Anna is super duper funny and Bowen's a genius. So wanted to shout out Saturday Night Live. It was the hardest I've laughed at anything on SNL in a long time. Hey. And I also liked a tweet from Jeremy Kaplowitz, who tweeted, I literally just fucking got that honk if you're horny is a pun. Honk if you're horny.
Oh, on the horn.
I never got that.
I took that as just a, you know, a call and response when you're out in the streets.
Yeah.
Honk if you're horny.
The whatever creep in the 60s made that up for a t-shirt was thinking two steps ahead.
I got to tell you guys one thing really quick. I saw on a Dodge Ram, just like 2 weeks ago, a bumper sticker that said, Dodge the father, Ram the daughter. And it was like, whoa. I was like, man, you're just out in the world. shit.
You always wonder when you see people have those like aggressive ass bumper stickers. We're like, yeah, I eat the inside of asshole. And it's like, that's the whole back of your truck window.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
People need to know.
Yeah. What is that?
What the inside of asshole? Why?
Eat it for breakfast.
Yeah. It's like, this is, I mean,
But you know, this is the thing I've learned. If you have like nasty freak friend, you know, people who are like friend, like, yeah, you know, I eat ass, and they're public about it. There's like another vibe that they all like gravitate towards or something. So it's like, oh yeah, that's for a different, that's another world. In us in civilized society, we're like, oh no.
Yeah.
But with the ass goblins, they're like, yeah.
I'm all for ass eating bumper stickers, but ones where it's like, I like to have sex with young women and not tell their fathers. That's a little weird.
It's a little country music. pop country.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, which is where we link off to the information that we talked about today. We also link off to a song that we think you should go check out for your vibes. The information for your brain, the song for your vibes. Miles, what song should people take in today?
Info for your brain and songs for your vibes. This will be, wow. This is going to actually be like a little bit of a Missy Elliott remix, okay? And you're going to have to listen because it's just going to... Like, Missy can't miss, but a modern day remix by Kayla Maestro is going to take it to the next level. And this track's called BMO 2001, stands for Break Missy Off, and it's by Kayla Maestro. And you're going to get it on SoundCloud, or just check the footnotes for that link.
Yeah. All right. Well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. And we're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we'll talk to you on that. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.